We go inside hockey with the one and only Jonathan Davis from NHL Network Radio, who has been working round the clock on NHL Network Radio on SiriusXM throughout this postseason. Lots to talk about with our Pacific Division insider who joins us live from LA. Hello, Mr. Davis. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Pat?
I'm good, man. You got a night off. There's no hockey tonight.
It's nice. I actually have a couple of days off because I think I'm waiting for the, until the final resumes, I'm off. My job was the Western Conference final, and my partner, Dave McCarthy, was handling the East festivities. So we will resume, as early as Saturday.
Tell me what, I guess, first of all, before we get into some of the Pacific Division stuff, just a thought on the breaking news of the day, stalled Buffalo from Minnesota for Marcus Johansson.
Well, I think that if you're Buffalo, you know, you're bringing in a guy like Eric Staal who can provide some leadership to a really young group. Two guys in both, you know, both Staal and Marcus Johansson, UFAs at season end. It tells me that Kevin Adams was not interested in re-signing Marcus Johansson. And a guy like Eric Staal, who he's familiar with from his playing days, teammates, I think, in Carolina, if I remember correctly. So, it's nothing that's going to really move the meter. You look at what's going on in Minnesota as Bill Guerin is trying to rebuild this team. They still have issues in Minnesota down the middle. It is not the most imposing group of centers. So, it's a deal that, doesn't really move the meter. I think it makes a little more sense for Buffalo than maybe Minnesota at this point, but not one that I get too hung up about.
Okay.
To be honest with you.
Let's get into some Pacific Division stuff, my friend. Sounds like Bill Armstrong will be the new general manager for the Arizona Coyotes, who have been ongoing that search since the bizarre departure of John Chyka. Tell us a little bit more about Armstrong, who is set to be Arizona's new GM.
Well, he comes from St. Louis, where he was the assistant GM and was also in charge of player development. Really helped to build this organization, and they're getting a really good hockey person in Arizona, no question about it. But I think, regardless of whether it's Bill Armstrong or any of the other viable candidates, that person is going to have an uphill battle, as we've discussed before, with, no first or second round draft pick for the next 2 years, an organization that has talked about wanting to cut salary, not planning on re-signing Taylor Hall, and has talked about moving players like Ekman Larson, and I've heard Clayton Keller, and no one's off the table. So, it's not going to be an easy job by any stretch, and for Bill Armstrong. And so, where we've seen some coaches recently get hired, like Jeff Ward in Calgary for 2 years, and Peter Laviolette for three. Armstrong, if the numbers are correct and we're talking a 5-year deal, I mean, that's fair because he's got a tall road ahead of him. So good hire, but it is definitely not the easiest situation to come into.
They do have a lot of work cut out for them, and you talk about how easy or difficult it might be. I just wonder, for a guy like him, how much autonomy does he really have? Like, he's gonna have pretty specific marching orders, is he not?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've heard from people that interviewed for the job that the interview process in Arizona was let's put it as interesting, and it almost sounded, I think you have to be prepared to cut salary, but look, if you're Bill Armstrong or anybody else, and your ultimate goal is to become a GM, and there's so few jobs of them out there, you're going to take it. I think he knows what he's getting into, and he can look like a hero if he's able to pull it off. But right now, in Arizona, I think there's more uncertainty than certainty, and they still have to figure out, what they're going to do or what Rick Tocchet's going to do, a year from now when his contract runs out.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, I think there was a lot of reason to be excited if you were a Coyotes fan, you know, even, you know, before this season started and even the previous season, you know, you started to see some positive signs. But I just get the sense right now that it could be some rough sledding for a couple of seasons once again for the Coyotes, and that's unfortunate.
With Jonathan Davis, our Pacific Division insider. He joins us every Wednesday from NHL Network Radio. So Dallas is not in the Pacific Division. They're off to the Stanley Cup Final. They beat the Vegas Golden Knights, who we'll get to. But there is a pretty interesting Pacific Division connection with this Dallas Stars team, and that's a connection to the Anaheim Ducks. There's some definite connections there.
Well, you've got the Corey Perry and Andrew Cogliano connection, two guys that have been through the rigors of playoffs before, and Corey Perry, you know, winning a Stanley Cup, you know, in Anaheim back in 07. And, you know, granted, look, when it was Perry and Getzlaff in 07, they were complementary pieces. They weren't the guys back then. But, you know, for me, you know, you've got Andrew Cogliano. And one thing that, you know, in hanging around him in all of his time in Anaheim, just one of the best people that you could meet. Just such a great, great person. And I had a chance to catch up with Bruce Boudreau earlier in the summer. And one thing that Bruce told me about Cogliano was that if he needed to have somebody to learn, another player, what it was like to be a pro, he would sit them with Cogliano for 3 or 4 days and just have them learn from him. And I think that, you know, Dallas, you know, the issue in Dallas and for many seasons has been a leadership question. And so you've got Cogliano. And then you have Joe Pavelski, a former captain in San Jose. And, you know, we saw what Pavelski meant to that Sharks organization. So you've got, you know, that Pacific Division connection to the Dallas Stars, you know, two critical pieces there. And, you know, the other thing for Joe Pavelski, Pat, he didn't like the way that it ended in San Jose. He didn't want it to end in San Jose. But, you know, here he is right now, and he's 4 wins away from winning a Stanley Cup. And it kind of reminded me of Luke Robitaille and how things ended for him, I think his second go-around in Los Angeles, when he wasn't offered a contract after a 37-goal season. And, you know, he went to Detroit, and he won his Stanley Cup. And so who knows? You know, we'll see. Sometimes, you know, the decision to not be re-signed can sting, but maybe things like this happen for a reason.
Yeah, it's tough not to feel good for Pavelski right now. Hey, like he's been such a good soldier, and was so close in a couple of years ago with San Jose. So very, very cool to see. Vegas is done. Dallas beats the Vegas Golden Knights. So now what? What's going to happen in Vegas? Let's start in net. What happens between the pipes for the Vegas Golden Knights?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, I mean, if the rumors are true and that Robin Lehner has this 5-year deal waiting on the table, then, you know, that definitely would spell the end for Marc-Andre Fleury. And, you know, Kelly McCrimmon addressed it today, and Pete DeBoer addressed it today. And, you know, Pete talked about the fact that, you know, during training camp and in the round robin, Robin Lehner played at an elite level and Marc-Andre Fleury played at a very good level. And so he went with the elite level goalie in his mind and, you know, doesn't look back on it. And I don't think there's any reason to look back on Robin Lehner. And again, I think we've brought this up before. Take a look at Marc-Andre Fleury's numbers since year one. In Vegas, they've continued to decline. So, you know, look, it's going to be hard to move him, but I'm sure that, you know, well, Fleury's got what I think it's a 17 or 10 team no trade. I'm sure that, you know, he may, you know, accept a trade to a team that may be on that list, knowing that he'll get an opportunity. And so, you know, that's first and foremost. I think that if you're the Golden Knights, though, you know, there's two areas where you need to be better. You need to be better at center, no question. And I think you need to be better on the back end. This was not a great playoff, in my opinion, for Nate Schmidt and Braden McNabb. And, you know, Nate's been a guy that they've counted on quite heavily. I've been hearing just some rumors over the past 36 hours that they may dip their toe in the free agency market if they can find a way to move, you know, one of their defensemen. And that would have to be Nate Schmidt, who does also, I think he's got his 17 no move. But I think they're looking for another dynamic defenseman, and maybe that's a guy like Torrey Krug. It wouldn't surprise me. Look, there is no question that Bill Foley will do everything in his financial power to make this team a cup contender. And so it would not shock me. And I just think that if you look at this Vegas roster, you know, it's been pretty much the same for 3 years, and they've gotten close. And obviously, a trip to the final is as close, you know, as close as you can get before winning it in year one. But I think this team, I get the sense that they're going to try to shake things up, and just they need to bring in some new blood. And because as good as it's been, it's still not good enough. But they definitely need to, you know, to improve down the middle. You know, when you've got Carlson and Stastny and Stevenson, that's just not good enough. And so I keep an eye on it, because this is a team that's not shy about spending money.
Is there a danger in saying all that? Is there a danger of them overreacting? I mean, they ran into a real dry spell offensively, starting with, I guess, game 5 against the Vancouver Canucks, and were never really able to snap out of it. But this team has done so much since entering the league. I wonder if they can overreact to a 7 or 8 game span where the puck didn't go in for them.
Well, I think that's a fair point, Pat. I think, you know, yeah, you don't want to overreact. Look, what I'm saying is, look, I think it's fair to say that they need to be better down the middle. And William Carlson has been good, but, you know, he hasn't been. I think maybe he is better off at being a number two. And I think you're better off with Paul Stastny playing further down in your lineup. Mm-hmm. And Chandler Stevenson's a guy that may, you know, well, he could be a two for, you know, maybe 20 games. He's not like they need to be better at that position. And I think when you look at the back end, you're very excited about what you've got with Shea Theodore. I think you're excited with what you've got from Zach Whitecloud. Feel absolutely horrible for the kid that, you know, here he is sitting in the penalty, was sitting in the penalty box for, you know, a puck over the glass penalty on the game winning goal. But I think that, you know, this team could still use, like many teams, look, they've got an opportunity to upgrade. And when you've got a guy like Nate Schmidt, you know, who's got, you know, his deal's at 5.9, and, you know, I said a 17 no trade, you know, if you can move that salary, I mean, would you not want to, if you're Vegas, are you better off, let's say, with Torrey Krug and Nate Schmidt? I think so. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's why I was, when you dropped that name, I was so intrigued, because I'm with you. I think that would be an unbelievable addition to their blue line. And you've got a budding Norris Trophy candidate in Shea Theodore already there. I don't even want to think about what it would look like with Torrey Krug on that blue line too.
Yeah, I just, you know, look, they would have to move Nate Schmidt's contract. That's the only way I can see in crunching the numbers that it works.
Right.
And then if you're able to move Nate Schmidt, you know, I think you could get yourself a decent return. You're not going to get the number one center, but you may be able to improve yourself, in that area, depending, you know, on what other pieces you could move. Mm-hmm. But it's something to pay attention to. Look, you know, there are a lot of owners that have outside businesses that are not doing well. Well, one of Bill Foley's outside businesses is the wine industry. Well, the wine industry isn't suffering right now. The one thing that many people, you know, the alcohol industry is doing really well. The wine industry isn't suffering.
Yes, people are drinking these days.
They are, for some reason. So, I just think that it's something to keep an eye on, because I this team is so close that I get the sense that they will push the envelope as much as they can. And they have the financial resources to do it, and maybe more so in some cases than others.
Lots of work ahead in Vancouver for general manager Jim Benning, hey?
Yeah, oh my God. I mean, like, that's a situation, you know, where, know, look, it's first, it starts with Jacob Markstrom, as you know, he's been discussed, you know, ad nauseum. But I mean, look, you've got to start there and figure out what, you know, what are we able to do? And if they're able to keep Markstrom in the fold, then then for me, you go down to Chris Tanev. And because I think everything starts from the back end. And I think that, while Tyler Toffoli is a very important part for this roster, you know, I think it's Tanev becomes the next domino and then Toffoli. But, you know, and then after that, what do we do with Jake Virtanen? You know, are we able to move him? And, you know, how can we creatively work the buyout, if any? You know, can they do something with Louis Erickson? Can they buy him out, or do they have to put him in the minors? You know, but there's no question that there is a lot of work ahead for Jim Benning, and we'll see. He's definitely going to have a busy, you know, 2 months ahead. You got to keep the momentum going in Vancouver. You know, it was interesting that Quinn Hughes was talking on 650, your sister station in Vancouver, talked about the fact that he was dealing with some sort of injury. Didn't know that the young kid he is. Said, I don't really know if I can disclose it, but you know, there was he like everybody, not 100%, but. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big decisions for Vancouver, and you still got to figure out, you know, once you can make those decisions, then you can start dealing with the Pettersson and the Hughes contracts and the other deals. But, yeah, they've got to figure out their UFA situation, and they've got three pretty big ones in addition to their, you know, what you do with Virtanen. I personally think that unless Jake Virtanen says, you know, I'll take a multi-year deal at less than what I would get in arbitration, I can't see any reason – you know, I can't see how they keep him. And, you know, the concern, though, Pat, with Virtanen is, you know, let's remember, the guy scored 18 goals this past season. A disappointing playoff for him, but 18 goals, if I remember the numbers correctly, that was like 35% of the goals from their bottom six came from
him. For sure.
You've got to find a way to replace it. And I don't know if they have that right now.
Yeah. Jonathan Davis is with us, our Pacific Division insider from NHL Network Radio. In the Pacific, the Calgary Flames signed Jeff Ward to a two-year contract as their head coach yesterday. He is no longer the interim head coach. Your reaction to that?
Well, I was very happy for Jeff Ward, and I think that, you know, it was the right thing for Brad Treliving to do, and I think the two-year deal is fair because I think, you know, look, you still don't know what you have in Jeff Ward. So, you know, at least give him the security of the second year. And then you decide, look, we're gonna find out anyways, Pat, within two seasons, where even more where this Flames organization is. Because you've got Johnny Gaudreau, what, coming up in 2 years, or is it 3 years? I think it's 2 years for Gaudreau. I mean, this team could look very differently in 2 years. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
by
2 years. 2 years, by the way, 2 years for Gaudreau for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, this can be a very different organization, and so let's see where it goes. But there's no question, and you know better than I on this one. It sure seemed like the guys enjoyed playing for Jeff Ward, and you can't not hire him. In my opinion, as we've discussed also before, because if you don't hire him, then you're taking the pressure off the players for their failure for this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, but I'm happy for him, and let's see where it goes. But now it's time for Brad Treliving to figure out what he's going to do on the back end, and what, you know, is he going to make some type of deal and can make a deal that changes some of the culture on this team and the attitude of this team.
And it was a two-year deal for Ward, a three-year deal for Peter Laviolette in Washington, right?
Yeah, and I felt that no matter who was going to take that job in Washington, the deal shouldn't be more than 3 years, because take a look at the age of that roster. I mean, you know, there's no point. You're pretty much, you know, when you take, and you've got Ovi and Backstrom and Oshie, you know, the core of your team up front, after 3 years, it's going to change. So if you want to change your coach at that point, then do it. Don't don't commit to a guy for 5 years when you're going to be necessarily flipping the roster. You may want to go in a different direction. Lavi was brought in because they want to try to win within these 3 years, no mm-hmm. question about it. Because after that, well, we're going to see a different team in Washington.
Taking advantage of that track record of Peter Laviolette and seeing if he can take a team to the Stanley Cup Finals like he's done for so many others. No doubt about it. Final thought, and you are our Pacific Division insider, but you did want to talk a little bit about the New York Islanders, who stayed alive last night, 2-1 overtime win over the Tampa Bay Lightning to force a Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Final. And you had some observations specifically down the middle for the Isles.
Well, when you look at the summary from last night's game, and you see that J.G. Pageot took 43 draws last night, and I think Brock Nelson was second at 17. Look, they're great on Pageot, and I think he was just over 50% on the draws. But it's something that I've been saying for a couple of months now. I mean, this is a team that needs help ultimately down the middle, like many teams do. But, the Islanders – we'll see if they're able to somehow win two more games and knock out the Lightning. I don't think it's going to happen. But I think going forward, there's no question in my mind that this team needs a center. And it would be tricky. But look, to me, if I'm the Islanders or I'm Carolina, and I know there's someone else that I'm missing that I was talking about with someone earlier today, I am calling Rob Blake and finding out what I can do to get their captain, because, to me, that's a guy that can ultimately help a cup contender. 4 years left on his deal, and I'm still I just don't see any reason for LA to keep him just to teach the young kids, because I think we've discussed this before. LA's still at least 3 years away from being a cup contender.
Right.
If I'm one of those teams, I'm definitely calling it. 43 draws. I haven't had time to go back. I can't think of a time where someone had to take 43 draws unless we played 10 overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah.
Good on him, but it just begs the question that, they need to find someone that, they need help down the middle.
So if you're talking about Kopitar, that's a big deal. Like, would LA eat some of the salary on that, you think?
Well, they may. Yeah, I mean, they possibly may. I don't know. I just think that the call needs to be made I don't know. You're the Islanders, you're Carolina. I mean, what are you lacking? Like, for me, that's what both those teams are so desperately in need of. That the call should be made.
Mm-hmm.
No question in my mind.
Yep. Interesting conversation, my friend. Great stuff as always. We will talk to you next Wednesday. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Pat. Have a great week.
You as well.